Hello, cocktail fans. Welcome to episode 25.
25?
25 of the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure. I'm Dave, along with...
Fred.
Yeah. That's what, when I put my hand out like this, I mean...
I thought you were for a tip.
Yeah. Tip big.
A gratuity of some sort.
And what's your name again, Phil?
I'm Jason.
Oh, Jason. Jason. That's right.
Yes.
Young Welcome Jason. To the show.
Thank you very much.
And here we are. Yeah, episode 25. Huh?
Wow. It seems like only a year ago that we started this wacky experiment.
You guys did. You and then busy. Once it worked, did you prove that the concept was...
Yeah. We definitely needed that a third wheel was required.
Yes.
On this tricycle.
Yeah.
Tricycle built for three.
That's right.
Yeah. So, on this episode...
For no good reason.
There is a reason.
Is there?
I'm going to give you a reason why we're doing Applejack.
Thank you, Dave.
Because several weeks ago, Fred brought his bottle of Laird's Applejack.
Oh, that's right. For no good reason.
For no good reason, because it wasn't going to be used in the episode.
No, I think it was so proud of it.
You're just taunting us with it.
I was so happy to have it.
Yeah.
I was tickled.
And I think he brought it, and I think it was maybe the Tiki episode we did, or maybe the Midori episode. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I took a photo of it, and I said, and I posted on our Instagram account, which is Cocktail Podcast. And it still remains our most popular photo on our account.
Really?
Yeah, by far.
Wow.
It's like 80 likes.
What about the one of Jason shaking a cocktail?
No. I'm sorry, Jason.
No,
you just don't compare to Laird's Applejack.
What about me trying to read something?
And so I thought, well, it's so popular. Maybe we should do an episode with Applejack. That's, and here we are.
And here we are.
I'm so glad that there was an actual reason.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
There was a reason.
And now you can write it off on your taxes.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, looking forward to this. Because who doesn't love Apple?
Yeah.
Does anybody not like Apple?
There probably is. Yeah. In fact, you know, there's a girl at work who refuses to eat apple because she says it makes her hungry. And I think that's like the worst excuse.
It's not bait and grounded in science at all.
No.
Subjective opinion
only. It's full of fiber. It should
make
you full.
That's right. But even if it didn't, if you're hungry, then eat something
eat
else.
Something,
They're only 60 calories. They're not going to...
Or have another apple.
Yeah.
No, it seems very... I don't drink water. It makes me thirsty. And there's no way to quench it.
No.
That's right.
No. I've tried salty crackers, peanuts.
No. Nothing.
Coffee. So, yeah, this is going to be neat. I had Applejack a couple of years ago. I was able to track it down. Because, again, it was something you couldn't get here in Canada. And it's still hard for us to find in our neck of the woods. Mm-hmm. But I did. I got it down in Washington State, and I made a couple of drinks with it.
No, it's pretty good stuff.
Yes. I see that a lot of it is already gone.
Yeah. I think it must have left the cap off.
It's
a lot of evaporation happens.
The angel's share. Yeah, the devil's share.
So can you tell us a little bit about either one of you, about how it's made and what's... Because it's a very old... goes back to colonial America.
Well, yeah. I mean, Laird's has been doing it... their family goes back to the 1700s. I think we may have talked about this before, but the legend has it, and I guess it's not much of a legend because it's the family's history, but they say that I think it was the son of the founder of Laird's gave his recipe for Applejack to George Washington.
That's right, because he served with George Washington in the Revolutionary Army.
And so they go back quite a ways, and they're still there. They are the last man standing. Now, I think other people started making Applejack just really recently.
Oh, okay.
But they ended up buying up all the other Applejack distilleries as they sort of foundered. And so they've... they've continued to this day, and they make an apple brandy and an apple jack, so two different products,
two different processes as well, or the same process.
I don't know the details of the process because they don't. I have to dig a little deeper than it's. I don't think it's on their website, so I have to find out a little bit more about how they what the difference is and how they make them.
Because you used to be able to jack cider by freezing it.
Right.
And then pulling out the water, leaving the alcohol behind.
Yes, there was something on YouTube that Dave sent me. There's a guy that was making apple wine. He was in Edmonton, and it was about minus 30, so he just had his pails of wine outside overnight. And then used a salad spinner to spin the booze
out. I saw that clip, yes.
That's very interesting.
So that's.
I don't know if that's how they originally made Applejack, if it was just cider that they made into it, or whether they actually. I assume they actually distilled it.
Yeah. And I think the brandy is aged. I don't think that Applejack is aged per se.
Oh, it's ready to go.
I think it's ready to go. Yeah, there's no waiting. So it was the first alcoholic product distilled in the States. It was before bourbon, before whiskey. Mm-hmm. It was Applejack because they had bunches of apples.
And it was hit hard by Prohibition. Did it almost disappear?
Everything was hit hard by Prohibition. I remember...
Especially if you like to drink.
Yeah.
Like
us. That's right. You were hit hard by Prohibition.
Oh, it was heartbreaking.
No, I remember talking about... when I was a kid, we were down to the California wineries, and they had all their big tanks. And during Prohibition, they came in, and they were all smashed up. They were all in their underground caverns. And, yeah, it was a... Bad time.
I think Laird switched over to making like apple juice and apple sauce during the Prohibition, so that's how they got through it.
Yeah. But, they hung on.
And I read that one bottle of this, which is what, 750?
That was a liter.
A liter? I think it's like 6 pounds of apple for just one bottle. So
what? Because we do have Calvados here for the Calvados cocktail, and I thought we would give both of them a taste, and then we get a feel for. I mean, I don't have the Laird's brandy, but this is Calvados VSOP,
which is a French product as opposed to an American product,
right?
And so that's what we're doing today. We're going to do the Applejack cocktail, but we're also doing a Calvados or a Calvados. Or Calvados.
You really should have taken Spanish.
Which one do you want to try first? Do you want to try the brandy or the Applejack?
Well, you've got that one. You've got the Calvados.
In my hand.
In your hand.
All right, give us
and the other check. Bottle's next to my hand.
There.
All right.
There's a Calvados.
But let's try a little sippy poo, both of them.
Okay.
And I haven't tried it. I don't think I've ever... I've been so happy to make cocktails with the Laird's, I don't think I've tried it straight yet. Just certainly how it was... It was
consumed?
Yes, in the early days.
Yeah, I drink most of my stuff straight now.
Saves a lot of time.
It really does. I save all my cocktailing for these. Everything else is just straight. Yep.
Just glug, 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 glug.
All right. Pass that over there.
Yep. Fred, you get the wonderful Delray Beach shot glass.
Oh.
I'll get the... Nice. Big, she's like, you get the city of Krakow shot glass.
Excellent. So. I'm the pride of Krakow.
Yes, you are.
Who expects a pony? It's never great to have a pony.
Oh, it certainly smells apple-y.
Yes, but also brandy-ish, right?
Yeah, it does have a... All right.
Oh, goes. Fred's already... Oh, he's out the window.
It's got bite.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, you can really taste that.
Yeah, 40%.
Tastes like 60.
Goes like 60.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's dry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean there's bit kind of an apple cider flavor to it, but then the brandy thing creeps in there and you get the brandy burn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you know, you have a big glass of that and you don't notice that afterwards.
No, that's true. No, I've had the same experience with some whiskeys.
Starts to get smoother and smoother as the more you consume.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're going to cleanse our palates now with some crackers.
Crackers?
That'd be fun. You know, just so you can tell the difference between...
Now, the Laird's Applejack has a screw top. Mm. I don't want you to judge it on the fact that it has a screw top.
Just
because the French brandy has a cork. It might even have been a plastic cork. Let's...
Do you want a little splash of water?
What, to actually rinse out the glasses?
Well, just you don't have to rinse it out. Well, yeah. That is what I mean.
Okay, now he's made everything overly complicated.
He has.
He's now disappeared.
He's disappeared.
And they come into my kitchen, and we really don't know what the hell's going on.
No, because now he's
going
to bring water out, and we're going to rinse the glass or our mouths. I don't know.
I think he's going to soap our mouths. Oh, no. This is... What are you doing here, Fred?
Well, I just poured a little bit of water.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So, okay. You know, then you just take a rinse and a sip. And
I understand. Okay. Actually, this is quite a sensible idea. Yeah. Now,
he's really earned his science degree, hasn't he?
He has. He's taken... This is hydrogen and oxygen.
Yeah. I've just combined it in a glass.
Mm. Is there anything else to aid the combination of the two?
Energy.
Is a carbon required? Does it cling to a carbon molecule?
It will, but you don't want it to. Then it actually becomes alcohol.
Oh. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, so here we go with the Laird's Applejack.
Yeah, I've sidled over next to Jason here.
Yeah, of course.
So if you're listening in stereo...
We're all in the same speaker.
It smells sweeter.
Sweeter than wine?
Nope.
Oh, yeah, but
less, less apple or a different apple.
A Braeburn? A Macintosh?
Granny Smith?
Fuji?
Oh, let's go.
Honeycrisp?
Well, it's smooth.
It is, yeah, it's smoother.
Smoother? And it's maybe a little bit more appleier, but not necessarily authentic apple. Sorry, Laird's. Let me qualify that. Like, if I was to have someone that said, doesn't that taste like apples? I'd say, yeah, that tastes like apples. Mm. But if it was a candy or a cookie that tasted like apples, I like it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, it's a... I'd say on the palate, it's about the same amount of apple, but less of a nose of apple on this.
Less of a burn, too.
And less of a burn.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's quite as complex as what the brandy is.
No. Interesting. Okay.
But it certainly, it says right on the label that it's a smooth blend.
And it is.
And it is. So, there it's Applejack.
I could see myself sipping on the Applejack more than the Calvados. I think the Calvados, I don't know. A little bit of a burn. But as you say, after the first couple of...
And that's going to be our first cocktail, isn't it, Jason?
Yeah, the Calvados.
The Calvados. Yes.
We'll do the Calvados cocktail.
You're going to tell us the ingredients?
I sure will.
So we're going to get this out of Vintage Spirits and Forgotten Cocktails?
Yes, good old Dr. Cocktail's book. What does it say here about it? Isn't it interesting that in the depths of the Great Depression, society movies were so popular? Champagne cocktail and the Calvados cocktail. It says here, a drink that has not changed one iota in 140 years.
Nice.
So there we go. Authentique.
Nice. Very.
He says he first saw print in the Savoy cocktail book, which you, in fact, have a copy of there to see
the front
if it's true.
Fred, the Savoy cocktail.
This is a reprint.
Right by, by Harry
Craddock.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the legends.
Mm-hmm. Yes, good enough of that. And so it's going to be 3 ounces of Calvados, 3 ounces of orange juice, freshly squeezed. We're going to do 3/4 ounce of Cointreau and 3/4 ounce of orange bitters, which is a lot of orange bitters.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get a bigger bottle of orange bitters, I think.
And shake it and strain it. And that's what we're going to do. And of course, the recipe will be in print at gentlemanofelegantleisure.com. Pop in there for a visit. We'd love to have you come by. And otherwise, you can just listen to us make it right now. I'm going to give a shot at Dave's slippery tongs.
Yes. My underworld name.
Slippery tongs. Slippery tongs coin.
And this is fresh ice, Dave?
Oh, it's fresh.
Oh, yeah.
Just Fred brought it last.
Right off the glacier.
Yeah.
In Yoho National Park. And I bet
sounds like a pirate park.
We didn't bring a jigger out to measure.
Oh, there's one right behind.
And there's what my big jigger.
Oh, I'm sorry, here's the big jigger. The jig is up.
Yeah. Well, I'll get the small one. Sometimes it's handy to have too.
As usual, I've turned it to the wrong side, keeping with tradition. And we double everything here for our samples, but don't let that throw you off. When you see me pouring copious amounts of alcohol into.
Well, I'm often making cocktails for two at home, so...
Oh, are you?
I actually need to... I think for some of them, I need a bigger shaker. So what did I do on the weekend? It's hard to keep track sometimes. I think I might have done a delicious... Did I do a delicious sour? Whatever I did, it was a lot.
Yeah, because you can't remember what you made.
No. No, it was... I remember Laura saying, I feel dizzy. I said, well, it's... Technically, it's got 4 ounces of alcohol in it. She said, what? Said, well,
it's technically. And literally. And
literally.
And it just, it does.
Oops. But it was thirst quenching.
Oh, it would be.
Near as I can remember. But yeah, it sort of precluded having a second cocktail. That was the downside of that. Even if we could have, even if we could have consumed it, I couldn't have possibly made it.
And it's funny that, I mean, this as an apple cocktail, this has a lot of orange in it.
I know. Like
comparing oranges to
apples. Orange juice, orange bitters.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, 3/4 of an ounce. Holy cow. It's a lot of bitters, but they know what they're doing.
Sure, that recipe hasn't changed in 140
years. 140
years,
back when they, most kids just drank orange bitters.
Straight. It's just so weird to see that much orange bitters in one place.
It is, in fact.
Because I've never made the Calvados, as near as I can recall.
And I think I have made the Calvados, but not for a while.
There we go, the shank. There he is. Shakeaholic.
Shake, shake, shake.
The volume meter goes right up the charts when you're shaking that cocktail.
So it should.
Yeah. Oh, it looks frosty already.
It is. It's. Gosh, this one's going to be loaded. As will us.
Mm-hmm.
But this is certainly easier to measure than the muddling of last week.
Oh, that was a heck of a lot of work.
Oh, that's that orange pulp gumming up the works.
Sure is. Should have brought the Hawthorne strainer.
Oh, yeah. It's good thinking. I should bring one, too. I should just make that part of the kit. and I even got... I think that's... we need orange wheels, too, don't we?
We do need orange wheels. Yeah, we should have got the other little strainer, but this is still going to work, I think.
Yep.
We're just going to have to wring it out.
Well, just to talk while you're doing it.
I
he's out of breath. He's really shaking that thing. He's consuming all his physical energy.
Exactly.
He's out of breath. I can tell.
Sure, I can hear that he's out of breath.
Yeah.
There we go.
And we're gonna garnish this sucker up with
the orange wheels.
Some sort of an orange.
That's fantastic.
Take a lovely photo for our Instagram account.
And it smells very orangey in here, just by having this around.
So, yeah, which is good?
Yeah, of course it's good. You're right, it's very good.
Nothing wrong with that. But, yeah, all right. Well, this is going to be interesting. I when I was reading it, it didn't really dawn on me how much orange was in the apple cocktail.
Yes, it's... one part apple, 4 parts orange. Cheers.
Well, it's certainly visually appealing.
Sure,
it is. And it's nosily appealing as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
oh,
nice.
Boy, that bitters, I think, is what's coming off of that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're ready?
Extremely aromatic.
Here we go.
Here we go. 140 years later.
Yes.
Still being drunk.
Really? That long, huh? Mm.
Wow.
Mm.
Oh. And then along comes the bitter at the end.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
It's right in the roof of the mouth.
Sweet up front and then bitter in the back.
It's like you, isn't about it?
That's not right.
First dates with Fred Partridge.
Pretty much.
Mm. Sweet up front.
Uh-huh.
And then a few hours later, bites. Out front, in the back.
Mm. It's stronger than it smells. You know, smell it, think, it's going to be fairly mild. Like, it's got a little something there.
Yeah.
They get rid of that orange peel off the bitters.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to decide if there's apple in there.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I mean,
even the burn of the brandy is gone from it a little bit too, isn't
that's
it?
That's right.
But it's very balanced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if you were worried about the burn of the brandy, that's gone.
Yeah.
No, it's a great cocktail. The bitters makes it very European. It gives it a very... it's not overly sweet.
No,
is what I was saying. It's an orange, but I would call this more of an orange cocktail.
Yeah.
Than an apple cocktail.
Yes, I mean the fact that it's got Calvados in it is, I guess, where the name is, but it certainly isn't the featured player.
No,
I don't think. I get orange.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But you've got three different kinds of. Well, you got the wheel, got the bitters. You got four. The wheel, you got the bitters, you got the Cointreau, and the juice.
Yes, and the orange juice. Yeah. I mean, it's all orange. And then just to fill up the glass, they have apple brandy. Mm. But it works. Mm-hmm. It's a fruit cocktail.
I mean, I think it's in there somewhere. I mean, I do sort of get something. But...
It could
maybe
be.
Maybe it's just in my head.
It could be the something. You're right, because there's something in there.
There's something that says this isn't just an orange juice cocktail.
Yeah, you're right. If we had put orange juice, Cointreau, and orange bitters, that would taste much more orangey than this. There's something that beats the orange back.
Yeah. Yeah, so this isn't a screwdriver.
No. That was very good.
There's something very grown up about it. And not, I mean, I... How much booze is there in that? It's a fair bit, right? 3 ounces? Not on this one, but...
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Yes. You would have an ounce and a half of the Calvados, and you would have 3/4 of an ounce of the Cointreau.
Oh, okay. So just 2 1/4.
So two and a bit. And it's 40% as well? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the orange bitters may or may not have a little alcohol in it, but really you're going
so
by
that's
that.
pretty middle of the road for alcohol content.
Yes.
Mm. So that's a good sip and drink.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's the bitters that slows you down on it. Otherwise, I think you would just dump it into your head.
Yeah, I'd like another one, please, because it's so hot out.
Yeah, it's like it's an orange Julius.
Yeah. But with benefits.
With benefits.
Well, that's something.
Mm. Wow.
That wasn't what I was expecting.
It says here... at first blush, this drink sounds like a condensation of the Golden Dawn. The reason it isn't is the massive jolt of orange bitters it calls for.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, depending on the brand of orange bitters you choose, you may just want to pull back a little on the quantity you add. Mm. It says, even so, this cocktail is more like an orange Negroni than the Golden Dawn. And we got orange bitters... You got the Savoy cocktail book. That's all the high points that he hits there. But this is a great drink, and everybody should try this one.
Yeah.
If you're an orange fan, have it. If you're an apple fan, if you're afraid the apple's going to make you hungry, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
It's not. Now, I'm not going to finish mine, because that's what I always do. I finish it, and then I slur my way all through the next drink.
Yeah. Fred and I have been talking about that.
We had the meeting.
And I just spilled the rest of my cocktail on the floor.
You did.
Usually it's Fred who spills everything.
I know.
But now...
I was safely over here.
That's because I wasn't looking where I was putting it. And now look at that. I've wasted a perfectly good orange wheel.
You'll have a little bit of mine.
All right.
Now I guess we're going to jump into the Jack Rose.
Yeah, so that's why I was leading up to that, because I'm saying that I'm going to keep mine off to the side so I can compare them back to back.
Exactly.
Because often I have to go by memory. So the Jack Rose is Applejack.
That's right. It's a little more basic, not as many ingredients, but and you got the Savoy. I'm gonna open up the Forgotten Cocktails version here.
Yes.
You guys mix and I'll clean this mess up.
Yeah.
Especially Fred's chair. I don't want him sitting in
stickiness.
Oh, dear.
And so there was a bunch of discussion as to whether it was the Jack Rose, the Jack that was in it, became because it was Apple Jack, and the Rose was because it was grenadine, or was it because there was a guy named Jack Rose?
Yes, a criminal.
Named Bald Jack Rose.
Really?
I was
a world criminal.
Bald Jack.
That's legal.
It's insulting.
He was also called Billiard Ball.
Oh, Jack. I see. They're trying to soften it.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't say you were bald. I said you like pool.
I was looking at, on the Esquire website, David Wondrich wrote in 2007 that he thought it was all about Jack Rose, the criminal. But in the book, he's backpedaled on that. not wanting to encourage criminals to... have cocktails.
So, crime should not pay.
Exactly.
The shadow knows.
Yeah.
Yes, Jack Rose sounds like a great name for a prize fighter, too.
Yes. Yeah, Broadway Jack Rose.
What about Jack Froze?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, he's the mayor of Langley Township.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Everybody knew that. Yeah, well, so I'm...
Yeah.
No, I'm just, if people hear me making noises.
No, they know what you're doing.
Do they?
You're making a drink.
I'm getting the limes ready.
Dave is wiping the floor, and I'm giving play-by-play. I'm Foster Hewitt.
Oh.
Fred picks up a juicer. He's squeezing a lime. He's on his way to about 3 ounces of lime juice. Meanwhile, Dave picks up the camera.
It's probably too many. How many ounces of lime juice do I need here?
Hello to all our listeners in the United States and Canada.
1 ounce. I'm half an ounce off.
Oh, dear.
Uh-oh. Let's see if you can do it.
Special hello to all the shut-ins and the deranged. People can't get out to the games.
The deranged? Is that our market?
Yes, it's that lucrative deranged market that nobody markets to anymore.
Well, it's all about the niche.
There we go, I'm in.
You got to get a niche market, so that's good the point. Deranged.
So I use my hand juicer.
That's a nice juicer. Was that a Christmas gift?
That was.
Yeah,
I know. I don't know whose idea that was. My wife got it somewhere.
Life, eh? Somewhere. Oh, dear.
So what we're looking at with Jack Rose...
Yes, sir.
...is 1.5 ounces of apple jack, the juice of half a lime, and it says, or lemon.
Or lemon. Come on!
Pick a side, I say.
Exactly. Lemon or a lime. Or a grapefruit.
It's like they're exactly the same, so you can just use one or the other.
Yeah. You want mustard or ketchup? They're really the same.
Really the same, just a condiment. And then 2 or more dashes of real pomegranate grenadine, which I have.
You have invested in real pomegranate grenadine.
And classic grenadines. This is from the Sonoma Syrup Company. And country.
Yes.
That we've used before. And so much so that I'm going to have to get a new bottle soon.
Unless we make our own.
Oh, that's right. Maybe that'll be...
Sure, we'll start harvesting pomegranates.
Yeah.
So this is pretty straightforward, I think. Three ingredients, and then we've got a lime garnish. You know, we don't usually do garnishes because we're so goddamn lazy.
Exactly.
Well, sorry, pardon my French, people. But sometimes after a long, hard day working in the salt mines...
You love to take the Lord's name in vain.
I don't love to
take it. And to not garnish.
It's more about the garnishing than the Lord.
Of course, back when this was audio only and nobody took any pictures of it, we didn't even really have to make the drinks if we didn't want to.
I think that's...
we hired a Foley artist to come in and put in the sound effects later.
I miss those days. Yeah. Before talkies. Or...
Garnish. And... Yeah.
So there's our juice.
Oh my God.
Now what did they say? Dashes. Well, you know, I'm just going to pour a bunch in.
A bunch? Oh, there you go. That's
it was a lot.
That's right.
But
you Usain Bolt with a dash like that?
It's real pomegranate grenadine.
Exactly.
You know, you should be able to taste it.
Now here comes the applejack.
Right, here it comes. So I'm going to be getting a new bottle of applejack soon. Good thing it's a liter bottle.
It's not that liter. It must hold at least 1,000 milligrams.
Yeah, exactly. Here we go. There we go. A little splash extra. That's it.
A little dabble do ya. Awesome. The Jack Rose cocktail. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dr. Cocktail's book.
So we'll see how that shakes out.
I'll sit down here.
Sure.
Fred's sticky spot. Here we go. Happiness.
Sorry, I get a little excited.
Exactly. That's what it's all about, folks at home.
You got to have a maniacal laugh when you're making a cocktail, otherwise it just doesn't taste as well.
And a supple wrist.
Yes, yes. All about the supple wrist.
That deaf, dumb, and blind Fred sure
makes a mean cocktail. Yeah.
Well, somebody's getting the short end of the stick on this one.
No.
Sorry.
I hate the short end of the stick.
Well, you shouldn't knock your cocktail over. Yeah.
Anyway.
Think that'll be okay?
Oh, that's lovely. The nice lime garnish.
Yeah, no, that's...
I would make it with a lemon, but, you know, everybody says lime.
Everybody says lime. What's the picture in Dr. Cocktail's book?
Lime.
Lime.
Mish. It looks like it's a lemon.
Lime.
Maybe it's a Meyer lime.
Oh, it could be a Meyer. A liar mime. How do you tell if a mime is lying?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, I'm a regular Stephen Wright.
You ask a lot of interesting questions.
When I'm not mixing, I'm full of ideas.
Sure.
All right.
So it's funny, you know, I'm looking at the picture.
Yes. It leads to things going to be a whole lot redder.
Yeah. So yeah. He's using a lot more of the grenadine than we did. He's pouring pretty heavy.
And in the Savoy cocktail book, the Jack Rose says a quarter, because of the way they've done it, a quarter grenadine, three quarters apple.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a lot more.
So that would be...
It's like a half ounce.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and I probably did not even a half, probably a quarter ounce.
Maybe.
Four. Maybe.
For the three of us.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So what do you think of this? The smell of it? It's, again, smells kind of...
I think
of
you get more apple.
I think there's more apple in this.
I think it's more apple, and it's a little bit...
I think it's almost more apple than Applejack.
It's like it's up to the apple.
It's up the apple.
Okay, here we go.
All right. And then this is tart and tangy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Not a sweet cocktail. This is your lemonade. This is your limeade.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very good. I don't get a whole lot of apple
once
I get it in my mouth.
No, it's lime in the mouth, but apple on the nose.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
Have a cracker.
And then where do you bite? In the back.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like it.
Mm-hmm.
Very tart.
Do we have an age statement on it then? Does Dr. Cocktail claim a birth date of it in that wonderful book?
They think it's not that old. They can't even get the name straight. The history of the name. So
but early 1900s to what, the 20s, somewhere in that circa.
I would imagine so. To base it on his book, there. Yeah. So I don't think
he doesn't really talk about the age at all.
Okay.
It was written up in 1931.
Right, and that's in the Savoy cocktail book.
It's actually from the pre. They said from the pre-prohibition Waldorf Astoria bar.
Oh, okay. So it's a big hit. Now, a lot of stuff I've read, I think it was in David Wendrich's book, too, was he said that if any cocktail ever reverted to New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
it was always an apple-based thing, an Applejack cocktail, mm-hmm. because it was so, so New Jersey-based, right? Yeah. And that's actually where Laird's is, right? They're in New Jersey.
Yep. Oh, yeah, no, they're in New Jersey, for sure.
The Garden State. Is that what they call it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But, yeah, the lime... when you get to the taste of it, the lime just sort of does, as they walk all over it. But what's funny is, but when you smell it, it's still not there. I've had a couple of slurps.
I'm going to dump in just a little bit of more grenadine into mine to see if it changes the color. But I don't see it ever getting quite as red as it was in the picture.
No. So that's... Yeah, it's a little redder there.
Yep.
Stick it on the bottom.
Yes,
there.
I didn't bring my... you can use...
Oh, the knife for the swizzling purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would think that if you got it to the point of it actually being red,
mm-hmm.
That's going to cut down a lot on the lime of it.
True. See, that color looks better.
Yeah, it looks closer to that.
And let's see how that tastes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now it's a... A completely different drink.
Well, maybe it's the drink it was supposed to be.
Maybe. Oh no, but this one now, the pomegranate really comes through.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't tell. I'll let Dave have a sip of this one.
All right.
Because I can't tell if does that bring out the apple, or am I just imagining that pomegranate and lime gives a more apple-y flavor or the illusion of apple?
Yeah, that's hard to say. I mean. It sweetens it up, and you think, well, that must be the apple. But I mean, it's sweeter, but I'm not sure if it's...
Have a really sip of that, Frederick.
Yes, sir.
Whether it really brings out apple.
Right, and that was an unmeasured pour. I mean, that's just me goofing around now, but I don't know if that makes it...
It knocks the lime back, which is, I think, maybe... It depends on your personal taste.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wonder if you are getting more of the palm off of that. A granite.
Oh, I see.
Not prisoner of Her Majesty.
Right. Or the French word for apple being pomme.
Oh.
Mm.
Nice.
Right?
Put that in there.
Yes.
You're such a wordsmith.
I am a wordsmith.
I'm going to call you William Wordsmith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I tried to shoe a horse with a bon mot, and it fell in the ditch. So I'm not a blacksmith. Mm. Clearly a wordsmith. Mm. And, yeah, let me give you your knife back. Oh, my God! So that you can taste it back to back with your,
Great.
With the
So let's go
Calvados versus, Jack Rose.
Whoa. Right?
Yeah.
Where, Dave, didn't you have two drinks at one
time? Oh, I had to. Yeah, I did. I had to sell them off to my wife, though, of course. Because I
Do you want to sip that and sip this? We, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's funny to go back to the orange again afterwards.
Mm. It is. But they actually do go kind of nice together.
Yeah.
You could order one of each at the bar.
Yeah. So the Calvados, the bitterness rides through there, obviously. Mm-hmm. I don't find it off-puttingly bitter, though.
Mm-hmm.
And then our friend Jack Rose. Especially this weird version with the pomegranate. Can I try yours?
Yeah, the original. It's just now become a little more pink.
Mm-hmm. Because your mouth's bleeding, Bert. Your mouth's bleeding. Wow. And then to go all the way back to that one as you've made it, it's a little
tangy.
It's a little too limey, I think.
Yeah.
I think compared to those two, the Calvados might come off a bit more balanced, although it pairs nicely with the one with a bit more grenadine in it, I think.
So if you're going to look at a recipe for the Jack Rose...
Did you try that with that? I forget.
I did, but I didn't try it back to back with the Calvados. Yeah. Somewhere in between what I did and what you did.
Mm-hmm. Is this.
Maybe. Yeah, as you go back to the Calvados, it turns out, I think you're right, it's more balanced. Different flavor profile.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Jack Rose, the few dashes isn't enough. I don't know if the quarter ounce is right.
Yeah.
Half ounce I think is too much, but I think maybe a quarter ounce of grenadine might do the trick.
For one, for a single drink.
For a single drink, yeah.
Right, and the Savoy says, the juice of half a lemon or a lime, a quarter grenadine, and 3/4 applejack or Calvados. So if you doubled that to make it 1.5 ounces of applejack, you'd have half an ounce of grenadine.
But and I think at half an ounce, and it's going to depend a lot now because you're putting so much in, whose grenadine are you using?
And it's funny that it's actually the juice of a lime, right. Not a half lime, which is so many things. I think even the Mai Tai, is that a half a lime or is it a whole lime in the Mai Tai? I can't remember.
I'm finding a wide variety or wide range of lime sizes this time of year. So some of the limes we've been getting are like so small. I'm getting like a half an ounce out of a whole lime.
Right.
And so,
which goes against what we've said all the time. As we always said, whoever makes limes is putting the perfect amount of juice in them.
Well, sure, we got a bad shipment, I think is what happened. Things will be fine in a couple of weeks.
Right. Early May, not a good time for limes. Haywire.
Exactly. But, so I was lucky to find some bigger limes today. I went sorting through the lime bin and picked the big ones.
Oh. You get some funny looks?
Yeah, a little bit. People don't like you manhandling their limes, apparently.
Mm.
But what do you think? I mean, I think with the amount of tweaking we've had to do with the Jack Rose, I think the Calvados comes off as ready-made out of the bottle.
I'm leaning towards the Calvados, and I didn't think I was going to when it was as bitter as it was to begin with.
Yeah.
But I realize now that it was me being naive and immature.
I realized that years ago. I'm glad you finally caught up.
That's right. This isn't being recorded, is it? Held against me.
But it's it's a grown-up cocktail. I don't think your average 14-year-old's going to go for it, which is probably a good thing.
That's right. So parents, stock up on the bitters, and your kids will lead a good life.
Mm-hmm. So now I'm embarrassed to say that I like the Jack Rose.
No, you're allowed to say you like
it. Okay, I like
the Jack Rose. No, you could be a limey. Maybe you prefer a nice lime.
I'm descended from limeys.
Which version of the Jack Rose that we had?
I preferred it with the less of the grenadine.
Less grenadine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice tart.
Yeah, I like it tart. Yeah. Well, that's like me. You know. a little sour.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little big pucker Cointreau.
But you guys are going for the Calvados.
I think on this evening at this juncture.
But I'm going to work on the Jack Rose. I think Jack Rose with the right mix has got some potential there.
Yeah. Yes, I think there's such a wide variety of stuff there that it deserves to be tracked down. And I'll look through my vast collection.
Mm-hmm.
As you both know, I have a vast
collection. Oh, sure. No, the Dedrick Archive.
The Dedrick. Yes.
Yeah.
It's deep underground in Utah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Climate controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's got all of my Donald Duck comics and all of my cocktail books that I've bought.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll have a snoop around and see. For example, maybe Dale DeGroff has a Jack Rose in there.
Yeah.
Maybe this weird book that I was telling you guys before we were taping, this The Art of Mixing Drinks weird reprint I have, might have a version.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, because you've got Dr. Cocktail, and he's come down with a couple of dashes of grenadine, but then you've got the Savoy.
That clearly has a measurement.
Yeah, and it's not like they're unknown.
No, because he refers to this very book in that other part of his book.
Yeah.
Self-referencing. There's
all kinds of things that just don't make any sense.
Yes.
I said, there's a conspiracy.
Yeah. I don't know. This whole thing is shaky. After 25 episodes, we might have to call this a wash.
I want to keep researching it because I believe the truth is out there.
Nobody knows the theme to X-Files.
It's not really hummable.
No.
Is it?
It's danceable.
Didn't your brother work on X-Files?
No,
he didn't work on X-Files.
Mr. Peverly.
Peverly.
That's right. But, no, he worked on...
He worked on the X-Files movie, the first one.
Right.
Which we have one of the first iPhones from that. An iPhone 1.
Wow.
Ooh, I bought it legally from Apple, which you couldn't do in those days, but I had to do that.
Fred, don't put this down on tape.
It's a long
story. It's not the Oval Office.
It's all above board. But yes, we have an iPhone 1.
Wow.
And Laura was one of the first people in Canada to have one because it was left over from the movie. They sold it off.
Hmm.
We had to give Apple a couple hundred bucks.
Wow.
And,
just to activate it, kind
just
of?
To, just well, to buy it. Because, we had to buy it.
Well, I hope you donate it to the Dedrick Archive because it's got to be safe.
We're going to put it underground.
We have it in a box. We'll send it to Utah. It's still because an iPhone 1 is not really have any value anymore.
No, it doesn't.
No, although it's an early serial number.
Mm. Well, there's probably somebody out there that would be interested in that.
Mm.
You have to have your Atari 2600 cartridges?
Oh, I used to.
You have your Intellivision? We'll make a bundle.
Yeah.
Mm. That and a Wonder Woman number 39.
My old Next computer.
Yep.
Steve Jobs did before he went back to Apple.
Did you have a Next computer?
I didn't have it. I wanted one because it's quite advanced for its day. But
speaking of computers,
yeah.
Sorry,
no, you're taking us off. Are we getting? Is this Dave's computer podcast? Is this where we're going?
I just thought it was funny because of the way you said it was advanced for its time, blah blah blah. And we all know that there's been these great steps. I was reading a book recently, a Neil deGrasse Tyson book, and the computer that's on Voyager.
Mm-hmm.
Which is still monitoring stuff, obviously.
Yes.
And still will occasionally, they can still take a picture with it. I don't know if they powered it down completely. Maybe they can still take a picture with it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's like the tiniest, lamest little computer in that.
Yeah.
And I just think that that's wonderful. That's still operating and still being able to send back enough information that's actually relevant, whether it's electromagnetic stuff.
Because
they could tell when it left the solar system, apparently, because the sun's electromagnetic radiation suddenly was measurably less, and it was now outside of the main solar system.
Called interstellar space, isn't that what they call it? Once you're past the solar system,
between this and the Oort cloud,
the Oort cloud, it's past the Oort cloud successfully.
So then, I thought that was it's just so funny because we're always after bigger and better, and this has to have this. We've all joked about it several years ago when they said you'll never need more than a gigabyte, and now you get it on a flash drive because you actually need more.
I throw away a 1 gig flash drive; it's too small.
Yeah,
what can you put on that?
And when computers first started, the screen was small, and then screens got bigger and bigger, and now they're getting smaller and smaller. I just got my cell phone. I don't need a computer.
It's tiny.
Yeah, but anyways.
I can't.
No, I can't either.
No, we need help with that.
So note to everybody, we need bigger screens again.
Yeah.
Screens up.
Just putting that out there. And if you're listening to this from the future, which I guess you'd have to be, because...
Well, it'll be in the Dedrick Archive.
You wouldn't be listening to this podcasts from the past. So.
That's right. But even if you're listening to it tomorrow from today, it's your future.
Things have changed.
Things have already changed, even during this podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to Google that. Mm. Well, what do you think? So we voted?
We voted. We like the Calvados. Dave likes the Jack Rose. And as always, there's no winner because these are established long-time drinks, and they're really good. It depends on your taste. And I think Fred's right. If we were diehards, and we should be, we should be making the Jack Rose work for our taste.
I'm going to poke at the Jack Rose a little bit. I've still got some Applejack left.
And I'm wondering if Dave, being the least drinker of the three of us...
You always have to bring that up.
Well, that's because you're the guy.
Do we know that?
That's how he plays himself up. You're right. He could be a closet drunk. But if you took the bitter element out of this, would Dave prefer this more? Was it the bitterness, do you think, Dave, of the Calvados that you didn't like?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't dislike it. I just prefer the Jack Rose. I don't know. Just the tartness of the Jack Rose I like. I'm all about the tart.
You're all about the tart. That's what it comes down to. And Jennifer is the same way. She'll say, I want one that has a certain tartness to it.
I've had a few people over to my house. I've offered to make them cocktails, and they said, I don't want anything sweet.
Right.
And so I'll make something like the Vieux Carré, which is not a very sweet cocktail. And now I can make them this thing, the Calvados.
Now you should make them the Zingaro. That with the port wine and the gin. That'll give them a headache. What the hell is it, Fred?
Wrecked for 2 days after that episode. Don't make the Zingaro. Or conversely, make the Zingaro. I didn't mix it with cold medication.
At least you were able to sleep from cold medication.
I slept like a baby.
I was chased by monsters.
I got to make that again. I might make that when I get home.
Have you got port wine at home?
Oh, I've got everything at home. All right. It's almost embarrassing. I don't know what we're going to do with all that stuff. If there's ever a fire, that place is just going to explode.
Wow. Well, put it around in different locations, all in one.
Is that the way to do it?
That's right.
Okay. I will. Well, that was refreshing.
That was episode 25.
That was
apple cocktails, Applejack and Calvados. Quarter century.
I want to do more apple. I'm going to look for more Applejack.
We only do one of these a year.
For the last 25 years.
I want to find an Applejack cocktail that tastes like apples.
Well, Dave.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have tasted like apples, but he was saying that there was the one on the Laird's website.
The Jersey Girl.
The Jersey Girl, which was the Applejack, the Cointreau, and then lemon with a little bit of cranberry juice.
With a little bit of cranberry juice.
So maybe not so much lime, so it might give it a bit of better chance. I'm smelling the Applejack, and it smells so pleasant and like apples. I think...
There's 6 pounds of apples in there.
It should smell like apples.
It should smell like
apples. And so I just think maybe I just should be drinking it straight. Maybe that's the solution. But it just seems to me there should be a cocktail that brings that
more of the flavor to the
front.
Now, I have to go back, but of course, I don't have access to it. But what was the recipe, if you guys remember, when we did the Embers Before Dawn? Because that was garnished with an apple slice.
Oh, that's right.
So was there apple in that? There must have been some apple in that. There was bourbon in it, I believe.
I don't think there's any apple because I don't think we were... I didn't have my Applejack yet.
Yeah.
And yours is gone.
It turns out it's not gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I got some heels of some weird things because I never knew if I'd get it again.
Oh, but now you can get it, so you can use that up.
I could.
But, I don't think there was Embers Before Dawn. So maybe you could do a version of that and substitute Applejack for the bourbon.
Yeah, or half and half or 3/4 and 1/4 or something like that.
You just don't want to give up on the bourbon, do you?
You
just can't let go. Let go, Dick.
I'm like a Disney Imagineer.
Yes. Yes.
And how does that really play?
In what way?
Constantly disappointed by how the marketing department has screwed up my
beautiful work.
Good. Well, then that.
But also in that I want to have an homage. If the original drink had bourbon in it, I think that there should be a bourbon-y thing, a bourbon-y element.
Okay, I get you, sort of. I'm sure we can do that. Maybe we'll look at that.
Yeah.
Is that the one where we had to burn stuff outside?
We had to burn stuff outside. Yeah, that was the one. We had to smoke the glass.
Right, the smoke glass, which I think worked pretty good, actually. It's a lot of work.
It did. It wasn't the favorite of the evening, no. But it's still a very good drink.
Oh, and it impress your friends like nothing else.
Oh, exactly. Your friends love to light things on fire. Your friend has an ashtray.
Yeah.
So it sounds like we probably revisit Applejack in the future.
I think we should revisit Applejack.
Fred, you perfect the Jack Rose. And
I will. And then we'll come up with another one. See if there's another cocktail.
The Jersey Girl.
Which there is, I'm sure.
And I'm putting out an idea right now for our next episode.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's Negroni Week. Is in June. The Negroni, June 5th to something.
Mm-hmm. I've got to finish watching that 1-hour-long YouTube video on the Negroni.
Okay, you do that, and then you're going to be the host.
I guess
the show.
I will be. Yeah.
But we could do the Negroni. Mm-hmm. It's also a fundraiser that week. I'll find out more information if we do that. But and I got that liqueur called, I don't know how to pronounce it yet. That's how new it is for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's old. Sues.
The Sues.
It might be pronounced size.
Oh, really?
Or Sues or something like that. Suze.
Right.
Or Ze for you listening south of the 49th parallel. But there's like a Negroni version that I saw that involved that. So we could do a Negroni and then a more elaborate Negroni in honor of Negroni Week.
I would do that.
Yeah.
There we go.
That sounds great. I was looking forward to that. Negroni, another classic. I like the Jack Rose. I mean, not too many ingredients, but they go crazy for it in Europe.
Yes, and it's what? It's gin, Campari, and the other ingredient that we should know because we host a cocktail podcast. I mean, there's people that
ask
call
me
this.
Ask me after two cocktails anything. How do you get home from here? I think you go down this road.
This is the most important hour
of my
alcohol on the internet.
Oh, probably.
That's what they're saying.
Is it?
Yes.
Who are they?
Our cult followers.
Oh, really?
I said it.
I didn't know we had those people. Well, thank you, people, for tuning in.
The most important hour on cocktails and alcohol in general.
Mm.
It's a huge honor. It's a huge... Negroni, dry gin, Campari, and this is the Savoy, sweet or dry vermouth.
Oh, come on.
You gotta choose one.
Yeah.
They're completely different.
Yes,
it's a milkshake or a crayon. Right. What do you want?
Completely different parts of what used to be Italy.
I was just looking above two above the Negroni here. There's the Mule's Hind Leg Cocktail, which has Applejack and apricot brandy. Maple syrup and gin and Benedictine.
Okay. Holy cow.
Mule's Hind Leg. Well, I just saw that.
We'll do that in 2 weeks.
My faulty eyesight was able to pick up Applejack.
Yeah, no, I'm having that tonight. But next time on the episode of the...
Mark that. I got to give you something to put in there.
The Mule's Hind Leg Cocktail.
All right, I'm looking for that.
Yes, so look at this. The Nevada cocktail calls for a hooker of rum.
Oh. Let's get that one.
Do you know her?
If you can get the reprint of the Savoy cocktail book, it's a great thing. The one I have is a photographic reprint. There's others out there, it's unimaginable. Oh, I can imagine it, sure. But it's an amazing amount of the volume of cocktails in there is mind boggling.
Just the weight alone of the book.
The weight alone will boggle your mind.
So we should put the Savoy cocktail book on our products page so that people can access it.
Yep.
We keep adding all the time. Yep. Just added Dale DeGroff's last couple of books we used.
His brother, Neil...
DeGrasse Tyson?
Yeah. We should put his book up there, too.
I'll see you in the stars.
I wonder if he would come on the show.
I bet he would. He would.
If we made him a two cocktails,
that's right.
Sure. I think he would do it.
He went out to Carl Sagan's house. How did he get out to Carl Sagan's house?
Well, he took the bus in snowy January.
Do you think Neil deGrasse Tyson would take the bus to Vancouver and all we'd have to do is pick him up?
Pick him up and bring
him to Princeton?
I got an extra room. He can stay here.
You can stay here. You're good.
Yeah.
You're clean.
Oh, sure.
Sure. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Neil, if you're listening, it's an open invitation for you to come on our show.
Yes.
Our first physicist guest.
You can pick a cocktail.
No, sure.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll pick a comparable cocktail.
Right.
That
and we'll talk physics and
the physics of cocktails.
Copyright, Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure, 2017. That's our priming the pump. I came up with priming the pump.
Oh heavens!
Wonderful. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in for this one. Have you got a quote for us to?
Oh yes, I've got one quote here. I was kind of trying to find a quote for about Applejack, but I was dead end. Sorry.
Although,
well, something you have a quote.
It's not really a quote, but
it's a warning.
It's a warning from the future.
There is I don't know if anybody remembers the Computer Wore Tennis Shoes.
Of course, Kurt Russell.
Yes, and that was the trigger word for their one friend who had been So he, because he, you know, there's a lightning storm and there's water on the floor and the computer ended up in his brain.
Right.
Hence, Computer Wore Tennis Shoes. Anyway, his trigger word was Applejack.
Wow.
Wow.
I love how lightning storms always cause complete chaos
stay
in the world.
Away,
don't they?
If there's
people
lightning storms,
all of a sudden their souls are exchanged or they turn into a computer all because of a lightning storm.
Or a human spider. Was that lightning? Oh, no, that wasn't lightning. No, it was Flash.
It was a spider bite.
That was a spider bite in a nuclear reactor.
That's true.
It was radioactive.
During a lightning storm.
Probably. But the Flash was a lightning storm.
The Flash was a lightning storm.
Wow. There you go. We love our lightning storm.
Yeah, so stay inside unless you want to be recruited by a secret government agency to fight crime.
I really do.
Well, now I don't even know if I should give my quote.
You should.
No,
it's overshadowed by his Applejack. No, this is a good one because it's by W.C. Fields. Of course, we all love
it. It's a classic.
Yeah. And he says, I exercise strong self-control. I never drink anything stronger than gin before breakfast. WC. Yeah.
It's a good rule.
It's a good rule. Because you have gin for breakfast, right? And then what? A rum lunch and then a bourbon dinner?
They're all mixed. You know, I don't drink them straight.
No.
Jason.
Sorry, I'm just lazy. It would be funny, and I don't condone this in any way, shape, or form. But wouldn't it be interesting if we all just had a little shot of something before we headed out the door in the morning? Not a full crazy drink.
Well, the former mayor of Vancouver, Sam Sullivan, had a shot of bourbon every morning.
Did he? Yeah. But he was sitting down all day.
True. He had to.
Yeah.
On account of the wheelchair, but
yeah.
But still.
He had a shot of bourbon.
But yes, he did.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he didn't get elected the next term.
Hmm. Well, that's a tough platform
to run on. Yeah. I admired him for
the
that.
The bourbon platform.
But, you know, I mean, in the old days, cocktails were there was breakfast cocktails.
Mm, it was medicinal.
So, 150 years ago. So, it's really in the last, 100 years that, society's gone downhill and frowns on these morning cocktails.
Right.
I think we should bring it back.
Well, it's something to think about. I don't think you have to have a whole drink.
No.
But, I mean, there's people that smoke. And the reason they smoke is because there's a calming element to the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're going to take a pill in the morning because you have anxiety.
Yeah, why don't we like a half an ounce?
A half ounce.
Yeah.
Just to swish it around your mouth.
Yep. Exactly.
And then down it goes.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't vouch for it.
It could lead to a horrible disaster.
When you sipped that, where the lime wedge was, made you look like a little owl.
People at home don't know what you're talking about.
No, I won't.
Now maybe the breakfast cocktail is a bad idea.
Yeah, you might be right. This was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should go out to the bar.
And you know what? This Jack Rose, it grows on me.
They should call it the Jack Grows.
You're still cut off.
Am I the only one sober here? Well, I think so.
You know what we should? We should start recording these things.
Now?
About 45 minutes in. And then go back and do it again.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Go.
Or do it like a Pinter play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We edit it.
A lot of pauses?
Yeah, a lot of angst-ridden pauses. Oh, dear.
But you know, I bet, Jason.
Yes, sir.
That George Washington said to Robert Laird, Robert, if you ever open an inn, you should always ask your customers, because Applejack's a lot of work back in the 1700s.
Right.
You should tell the customers that you should always do what?
So, like, if you had to pay your bill.
Yeah, you got to pay your bill.
And it was only whatever the hell they used 200 years ago.
200 years ago.
Pounds. You pay for
it. Pounds. Pounds?
Well, before the war.
Yeah.
Before the war.
And, of course, these guys were making stuff in 1698.
Oh, wow.
And it was 1760 when George Washington got the recipe.
Yeah.
So, at that time.
Now, in a weird tie-in.
Yeah.
He chopped down their apple tree.
Oh.
Oh,
they claimed it was a cherry tree.
Yeah. But it was actually, he was not good with any fruit trees.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
they would have been pounds. It would have been pounds, or a shilling or a farthing.
Shillings, farthings, so you would, so if you're a serving wench in those days.
Right.
I don't know if there's guys. What's a serving guy?
I don't even know if they had serving wenches.
What did they have?
I don't know.
Robots?
All of our knowledge of this is based on Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Oh, let's talk about that. Did you know Paul McCartney's going to be in the next one?
I heard that Paul McCartney's
going to be in the next one.
I saw a picture of him, too.
Yeah.
Oh, looks
and he
hideous.
Looks like Paul McCartney in a Jack Sparrow costume.
I know. It's kind of neat.
It's kind of
weird.
And he looks like he's happy.
I know.
Sometimes
for the first time
Paul.
In his life.
Yeah. No, but sometimes you see Paul, and he looks like he's kind of posed happiness.
Mm-hmm.
He looks happy to be a pirate.
Sure, I would be.
Sure. People have been pirating his songs. Now he has to be a pirate.
In your face, he says.
Yeah.
But yes, regardless of a farthing, a shilling, a halfpenny,
sure,
you would pay the normal amount for the guy that did all the work to get your Applejack.
Yep.
But then you, colonial... Colonial gentleman of elegant leisure, you say, "One moment, sir!" / serving wench. "Here's a little bit something more for you." And they say, "What have you done here?" And you have said, "You know what? I am a gentleman of elegant leisure. And I
tip big." Well, that was a long road.